All right, so here this week we'll be covering the next fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. This is one of those weeks where everybody is like, I wish I wasn't here, because we all know that you don't dare pray for patience or hear a message about patience because your next week is going to be frustrating. We all kind of know what patience is, wish we were more patient, but also have no desire to go through the exercises in which it would take us to become more patient. Because we want quicker and faster results. Because we are impatient. It is one ginormous circle which is frustrating and can be confusing to many of us, including myself, that we want to be more patient because we understand that God has told us to be more patient. God is patient. Jesus is patient. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a virtue. We all want to be more patient. None of us are like happy with the fact that we're like impatient and frustrated at people all the time. But like we also don't want to do the work in which it would take us to become more patient people. We're uncomfortable with the situations that would make us choose to be patient and then to, you know, exercise that. Now, that being said, I am thinking of, I won't name anyone, but thinking of people in our church family that seem like they're just inherently patient. That they don't have issues with patience. And I would imagine most of us, I would hope all of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, would not consider all of ourselves to be inherently patient. But have you ever known someone that you're just like, wow, that's just a patient individual? Like, that's one of the biggest character traits that they have. Sometimes it strikes us because of a lack of patience in us. Sometimes when they're describing a situation where someone is doing something that is frustrating and we would have lost our lid by that point, and these people are just, you know, saying like, well, you know, it's fine. These people just need a chance to learn and to grow. And we're just like, oh, no, I'd be smacking people upside the head left and right. I have those situations at work at Wooddale, as all workplaces, regardless of where you work. There are just sometimes things that where people are just not obviously thinking everything through as far as how it affects everybody. And, you know, I oftentimes, my first initial response is, oh, man, if I just lay into them, like, this will all get fixed. You know, we have to exercise a different fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control, to get ourselves to the point where we can start practicing patience in those situations. I am not a patient individual in my heart in the slightest. I want everything and everyone to be fixed immediately. I would imagine most of us are that way, as, you know, our sinful hearts lead us. Are impatient, and we not to overemphasize, but again, we've mentioned this many different times, our culture is all about instant fulfillment. You know, one exercise in patience is to go to a McDonald's drive-thru, right? Sit there for all of 8 minutes before you even get to order. Then you order, and it takes 3 minutes to get your food, and then they didn't have enough things in the fryer, so then they have to tell you to go park. It took you 15 minutes to get a hamburger and fries, and we're all like, this is ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous, right? You know, this is supposed to be quick. This is supposed to be easy, and, you know, all of us are not carving out enough time for us to be getting dinner when we should be getting dinner, and that's when that, you know, frustrates us. Or if you go to Caribou and you order a drink and they get it wrong, so then you have to make it twice. And we're all like, this is, I can't handle it. We're talking about minutes here, right? Let's think through. How long would it take you to make a hamburger and fries at home? A whole lot longer than 15 minutes. How long would it take you to make a latte? Probably 3 days, because none of you know how to do that. Okay, so we see impatience wired into us, and businesses, models, all these things being built around the fact that people don't like to wait. Go to an airport, right? And you show up like an hour and a half before your flight, and you're still not through TSA. and we're freaking out, right? Like, why don't they have more lines open? And there's 15 lanes and two of them are open. However, when the Bible talks about patience, it's not just like taking things in stride and not being frustrated. See, when we talk about fruits of the Spirit, when we talk about these virtues and character traits of a life that is led by the Spirit, we are not using these words to simply mean the not negative version of it. When the Bible talks about being patient, it is not just talking about not being frustrated. It's not talking about not letting yourself be controlled by anger. It's not just saying that you just need to wait, period. When the Bible talks about patience, it's talking about a positive influence in your life. It's not talking about saying like we often get the impression the Bible says, here's all the things you should do and here's all the things you shouldn't do. And then we get to patience and we think like, oh, patience just means don't do these things. And that's not what the Bible is using the word patience or to wait upon the Lord to mean at all. So some of us might appear to be more patient because we are just used to waiting for things longer, but it's not necessarily a heart-level patience that the Bible is saying that the Spirit intends to lead God's children into. We've been talking about, throughout this series, those, you know, imitation fruits that we buy and to replace the actual fruit of the Spirit. How many of you had like a grandmother that had a wax bowl of fruit? Or maybe it was your mom, sorry. My nana had one on her table, and none of them fooled me except for the grapes. Anyone else? Right? The grapes look real. Yeah, okay. So everybody go to Wade's house, and you can see these wax fruit. Some of them, like when you see kids' toys that are like, okay, these are fruit, like it's very clear. But you can get some high-quality fake fruit that look real. I would submit that something that can look like patience but is not patience at all is apathy. We just don't care. See, we have come to believe that patience is having just a non-frustrated or bold or angry reaction to our circumstances. And so if you can endure it without having bad emotions and bad actions, suddenly you're a patient person. Some of us actually think like that's what we need to do in order to be patient. I have heard many a time from friends and family, and probably even have thought this myself, that when I'm frustrated, I just say, okay, well, I just won't care. That is not patience, as the Bible will talk about it. Might be considered patience as far as our culture is concerned, and, you know, again, not causing giant stirs are a good thing. I'm not saying we should be frustrated and angry and throwing things and throwing hissy fits and yelling at everybody. So don't hear me saying that. But to settle, to buy the imitation of apathy for patience is not what the Spirit intends to lead God's children into. So then, what does the Spirit intend to lead God's children into that is called patience? If you're still in Psalm 37 from a scripture reading, if not, you can turn there. Psalm 37 is a psalm by David. You can read the whole psalm. It repeats, as most psalms are, repetitious in theme and in statements and in parallelism and all of those things. We went through psalms. If you missed that series, it's online. So we won't go into all of the nitty-gritty details of interpreting poetry. But I felt like when I read this passage, as I was looking through all of the passages that contain patience and things along those lines, I found this one quite fitting for our day and age. So let's just go ahead and just walk verse by verse. We'll just do the first 13 verses, and we'll see what is David saying in this that can help us understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about patience. Verse 1, do not be agitated by evildoers. Do not envy those who do wrong, for they wither quickly like grass and will wilt like tender green plants. So he's saying, don't be annoyed by evildoers, those who do what is wrong, who do not listen to God, because they will pass away. And throughout Old Testament and throughout the scripture, we have been reminded time and time again, do not look at the temporary state of affairs. Oftentimes, wicked people are rich, popular, they're in control, and they have everything, and it even looks like they're going to die in peace, and righteous people die in agony, and they are poor, and no one cares about them. But David says, do not be agitated by them, and do not envy them, because they will pass away quickly, just like grass and just like plants. Instead, trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. And take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Instead of being agitated, trust in the Lord. Take delight in him, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. Be silent before the Lord and wait patiently, or in my version it says expectantly, for him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the man who carries out evil plans. Refrain from anger, give up your rage, do not be agitated, it can only bring harm. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked person will be no more. Though you look for him, he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will enjoy abundant prosperity. The wicked person schemes against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at him because he sees that his day is coming. It's easy for us to become impatient when we see things that are wrong prospering and see things that are right withering away. For wicked, evil people who intend to do nothing but gain their own wealth and power and all of their own desires at the expense of others, we can get frustrated when looking at the circumstances. We can become enraged at the state of affairs in our life. And that's not just to say during an election year. We could choose to do that. And in some ways, we would be able to justify being angry and being enraged and being incensed by all of this evil succeeding. There is a righteous way to be angry, but I would submit that a righteous way to be angry is to exhibit patience. See, what we want is heaven, and we want heaven right now. And that is a good desire. But what is not a good desire is to want God to change his perfect plan, which, by the way, got you in, saved and into the kingdom in the first place. Make God change his plan and change his timing because you're annoyed or frustrated. See, what David says in this psalm is, instead of choosing to be angry, agitated, enraged, or jealous of the wicked, you are to trust in the Lord and do what is right. And you will dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will act. And he will make your righteousness, the things that you are doing that are right, in accordance with what he has told us, to shine like the dawn. How many of you have ever, like, in our bedroom, we have, like, blackout curtains, because we're on a road with headlights all night long, super annoying. So we have blackout curtains. But then, like, when your spouse, like, wakes up in the morning and, like, pulls the curtain wide open, yeah, sun right in your face. That's what David says God will do with your righteousness. He will reveal it and expose it like the dawn. Your justice like it's noon. Imagine if you slept till noon and that happened. Yeah. So to trust in God is the first step, the first requirement to have true patience. Then what is the next step or requirement to have patience? Verse 7, be silent before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then he repeats his theme, do not be agitated by one who prospers and carries out his evil plans. Refrain from your anger. The next thing that we are to do in order to have biblical patience that the Spirit intends to lead all of God's children into is to be silent, but not to only be silent, but to be silent before the Lord. Patience is not, again, apathy or the fear or the cowardice of speaking out. It is not that you must not say, that's bad, this is good. What David is saying, and is repeated throughout the entire Bible, is that for us to be at peace with God, living in tune with him and his creation, that we need to take the time to be quiet and silent before God. One of the best ways to practice this is to pray. Pray to God and not talk the entire time. Ask God, what do you want from me? What am I supposed to be doing? Because your word tells me, do what is good, dwell in the land, trust in you. So what do you want me to be doing? And then listening. Now, I'm not saying like listen for an audible voice. If that happens, no problem. Okay. But check it with the Bible too. I'm saying that we need to take the time to quiet distractions and noise all around us if you want to hear from God. I've said this a couple different times and also various talks that I've given to the security team at Wooddale, but that God speaks in a small, still whisper, as evidenced by Elijah, who was discouraged by this grandiose display of God's power and authority in Israel. He goes out and he like cuts down all the prophets, and then Jezebel is like, I'm going to get you. And he runs out into the desert and is like, I'm the only one that loves you, God. And God's like, stand in this hole in the mountain. I'm going to come talk to you. And all of these things happen, earthquake, thunder, lightning, fire. And the narrator says God wasn't in any of those. And then came a small, small whisper. And that was God's way to talk. If you want to hear God's answers to your prayer or answers to the desires of your heart, you need to be still. You need to be silent. And then, as verse 7, as David writes, wait patiently. I like the translation I have that says wait expectantly for him. I think this is the third key to having biblical patience. First is that you trust in God, that you be quiet so that you can hear from him, and then you are waiting in a way that expects there to be an answer. Patience, again, is not saying, I'm going to sit here and let God do his thing and, you know, we'll see what happens. That's kind of like what Jonah did. Sat on a hill, said, all right, you sit back and watch God destroy all of Nineveh. Yeah, because that's obviously what he has to do. He was waiting expectantly, but not in the path that God had laid out. But let us wait for an answer expectantly, even if that means being silent for a very awkwardly long time, multiple days in a row, for weeks on end. The act of trusting in God and being silent and waiting expectantly for him to do his job is how we exercise patience and how we get better at it. This path, if you follow it, will help you be refraining from anger and not being enraged, not being agitated, because that can only bring harm to you and to those around you. Because we know certain things to be true. Evildoers will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord inherit the land. The wicked person will be here for a little while, but in the end, you can't find one. You'll be looking for them. You'll be looking over your shoulder saying, okay, where are the evil people? And there won't be any. The humble will inherit the land and enjoy abundant prosperity without having to do anything unrighteous. The wicked person schemes against the righteous people, but God sits in heaven and laughs because he knows that the end is coming. As with all things that we have seen so far from the fruit of the Spirit intends to lead us into these virtues, these character traits, these important exercises in obedience to God, is strongly related to what God has done in the gospel and is intending to finish in the end. We can be patient with our terrible circumstances we have right now. We can be trusting in God because, one, he's the only one who can fix it. But two, he has given us his plan to bring everything to a good end for those who love him. We can be patient and be silent even when we want to only come to God and say, God, here are all the things that are wrong. Why aren't you fixing them? And just talk over him. Or we can choose to be patient and know that he knows what he's doing, because everything that is going on has been part of his eternal plan since before he made the world. We talked a little bit at prayer meeting, when we come to God, we often ask the question, why, like Job, and we don't get a why, because the why is something we can't understand. You have to put yourself into perspective in front of this infinite, eternal God who has spoke the world into existence, which is crazy enough as it is, but that has been in existence since before time existed and will continue to exist forever, that your life is not even a speck of sand in the time glass of history to him. Your momentary issues, the conflict you are having with your wife or with your children or with someone at work, is literally like nothing in the perspective of eternity. And God has said from the beginning, I will send someone to fix this problem that you guys made. And in the end, you will get to live with me for all of eternity, where there is no sin, no wickedness, no one's allowed to do anything. I will rule wholly and completely and righteously, and you will enjoy abundant prosperity in my land. We can be patient because ultimately we know where this entire world is going. It will be renewed, destroyed, and then made better the way it was intended to be, and we can enjoy abundant prosperity with God. And so even when leaders in our world, or when our bosses or our spouses or anyone that we care about are making terrible, unrighteous, and unjust decisions, that does not free us from the obligation to withstand it, but it does give us the opportunity to be patient and wait on God. God is going to bring about this promise, and many of us are like, yeah, I wish he would kind of hurry up on that, right? I forgot if it was 1 Peter or 2 Peter, but in one of those, I believe it's chapter 3, he writes that God is not slack or slow. I like to think God is not lazy in fulfilling his promise, as some like to count slowness. But he will bring about his end. You know, there are those people who will say, where is this coming? You say he's coming and we haven't seen it. God's timing is not always our timing. In fact, it's hardly ever our timing. And that is a good thing. God has a perfect plan in place with perfect timing for each and every event. For us to be impatient with him or with our circumstances is to say that we don't really like the plan God has. just so, so very arrogant. Aside from all of the issues of that, you will be only made more and more frustrated if you do not choose to exercise patience, to be silent before the Lord, to commit your way to following Him. You will be more and more agitated and more frustrated because you will lose your peace, because you will not be in harmony with the Creator or His creation. Everything in your life will continue to get more and more frustrating because you are opposing God's plan. Again, the Bible says very clearly, when we see evil, we expose it. We oppose it in all ways necessary. We speak the truth boldly in front of anyone that we come across. But ultimately, the outcome, we trust God with. See, what happens with us is if we don't choose apathy, we almost always choose then control instead. When we don't like being patient, we say, well, fine, I'm going to go fix this. I've said that a lot. I'm going to take care of it. Nobody else is going to take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to go fix it. And we begin to strong arm, force our way in, usually end up hurting people in the process. We end up disobeying God in multitude of ways. Instead of just saying, God, I'm going to do what is good, and I'm going to trust you to do the rest. If we truly are struggling with patience, we are struggling much further on, further back, in that we are saying we do not trust God, and we do not expect Him to act. What a terrible statement that makes. We claim that we trust God to allow us into heaven, even though we are sinners who do not deserve it. We expect Him to act on our behalf when people are sick or when we need work. But when it comes to really the hard things in life, challenging things that we just don't like, if we do not practice patience, we are saying, I don't really trust God all that much, and I don't expect Him to change. We are establishing ourselves as God of our lives, and we will begin to believe our own lie. The worst part of it all is when Christians decide to do that, we decide that we're going to start like doing that in God's name, and God's like, well, nope, that's not what I wanted at all. This sounds very hard, and it is, because it is contrary to the way our heart wants to do things. Since the day that Eve saw the fruit, said it was good and desirable, that would make one wise and be able to empower her to decide what was right and wrong, we have always been misled by what we want in our hearts. But if you trust in the Lord, do what is good, take delight in God and His plan, commit your way to Him, and expect Him to act, He will give you the desires of your hearts, because your desires will become His desires, and you will be thrilled to see Him act. If you are silent before the Lord, expecting Him to act, if you are exhibiting patience and trust in Him, you will see Him act. Because God is always at work. God is always doing something. God is always up to our good. But if you are too busy yelling, being agitated or enraged, you will never see God act, because God speaks in a small, still voice, and He acts in very subtle ways the majority of the time. This is not to say that this is not the same God who flooded the whole world, or sent fire from heaven, or will send Jesus riding out of the sky on a white horse with a name that only He knows to end all unrighteousness once and for all. But this God is very much involved in your everyday life. But if you're not still, if you're not patient, you will miss it. So what is the benefit of being patient. One, I think it would be a good way for us to practice and get in tune, so we will then end up with peace, which was something we talked about last week. We can have peace in our terrible circumstances, regardless of our what is going on, because we are waiting and expecting God to take care of it. God wants us to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares about us, but also because He's the only one that can take care of us. We need to be patient and trust that He cares and will act in His timing. But does it really do us any good? Well, very popular verse, but Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who trust or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Many times, the exiles or the Jewish people in the time of judgment being sent by God on them were told to wait. Wait on the Lord. And then they were told, He's going to do this. He's going to rescue you. He's going to bring you back into the land. He's going to bring a way for you to have a new heart that wants to obey. Wait and expect God to act. Do not take things into your own hands, but instead exercise patience. So, here's my best effort at giving you a definition for patience. I think patience is confidently waiting for God to bring about the right end at the right time. Say it again, so in case you guys are writing it down. Patience is confidently waiting on God to bring about the right ending at the right time. I don't know that the essence of patience is necessarily waiting, because there's so many qualifiers to it. You can wait impatiently just as well as you can patiently. But to say we can wait confidently, expecting that God knows what He's doing, I trust Him, and I don't have to have any anxiety about how I'm going to control it because it's His job. We can wait confidently on God to bring about the right ending. We happen to agree, if we are His children, that evil should be punished, good should be rewarded. We happen to, if we read the Bible and say, like, hey, these people ought to be being punished, God's like, I know, I've got it. But if we start telling that God has to bring about that end now, instead of in the right timing, and God is exercising patience with humanity to allow time for people to come to repentance, we are not allowing Him to be God at all. So patience is not apathy. It is not wanting things into our own control, but patience is confidently waiting on God to bring about the right end at the right time. And that will help us in all areas of our lives, not just in the grand scheme of life where we're like, oh, I just don't like how life functions right now, but I'll wait till heaven. That's not the only way that this kind of perspective, this patience, will benefit you. See, when you have someone that you want to strangle or smack upside the head because they are just not understanding what is going on and you're trying to be patient with them, you put into perspective that you can wait confidently for God to bring about the right ending in this situation, in His right timing. You don't have to force things. You can allow things to take their course. And if those things take a course down a path you would not like and you think God also doesn't like, you can then wait even more confidently knowing that God is going to resolve it. So the frustrations in our relationships, if we exercise this kind of patience at our heart level where the Spirit intends to lead God's children, we can then be confident and wait patiently for God to do the right thing at the right time when things are not going great, when we are not doing well physically, or someone else is not doing well physically, or someone's not doing well spiritually. We can't control the world. That was not the job God left us to do. That is God's job. And so what we can do is go before Him, pray, and say, I think this is your will, God, and then wait confidently and silently for him to act. And then to listen if he tells you, this is what I want you to do. Say, all right, that's part of the plan. I'll go do it. You want me to do what is right? I will go do it. You want me to share the gospel with this person? I will do it. You want me to continue to talk to this person who has hurt me 25 times in the same way? All right, I will do it because I am confident that you as God can bring about the right end at the right time. And it will change all of our agitations, frustrations, the things that we get enraged about. If we just practice this one simple thing, to trust in God because of who he is, what he has already done for us, and what his plan is to bring about. We can confidently wait on God to bring about the right ending at the right time. And that is what the Spirit intends to lead each and every one of us who is God's children into, as he ministers to us in the reading of the word, as he affirms the words of Jesus in our hearts, as he guides us into how we should relate to one another. So let us follow the Spirit and begin to exercise a confident waiting on God. Dear Father, we thank you for your word that has given us the light and the words of life that our souls desperately need. We come today, I would imagine most of us being willing to admit we are not very patient. We want things our way in our time, but we pray that as your Spirit ministers to our hearts, that we would begin to wait confidently on you as the creator, as the beginner, as the ender of all things, that we would be confident to wait for you to bring about the right ending in the right time. We pray that we would make it a priority to find time regularly, probably multiple times a day if we're honest, to be silent before you, to talk to you and say, here are my concerns, here are the things that are causing me worry or anxiety or just things that are cares on my heart, the burdens that I have. Will you please do your will in all of them? And then to wait for you to speak to us as to what we are to do and what we are to wait for you to do. We pray that we'd be able to find the difference between the things that are your jobs and the things that are our jobs. And that we could wait confidently on you, because we are waiting confidently on you to bring about the end of our salvation, to rescue us completely for all of eternity from our sins, that we would only have a heart that desires to know you, to worship you, to obey you for all of eternity, that we will get to inherit your kingdom, that we will get to live in the land, and there will be no wicked person for us to find. The only ones that we will be able to find are those who want to follow you. We pray that you would bring that end in your timing. You know our hearts and you know our concerns and our desires to be with you, but we pray that we would trust you with the timing of all of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.